And welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with me today, Amanda August. She is Executive Director of the Jefferson Street Center. Welcome, Amanda.
Thank you so much for having me, Laura.
Let's get started with what exactly is the Jefferson Street Center and its mission?
So Jefferson Street Center, we're a 501c3 nonprofit, and we are based in Northwest Wilmington in the city. And so our mission is to promote social justice for all. And it's with a special emphasis on improving the quality of life for individuals and families in the surrounding communities. So we are focusing our efforts on building neighborhood stewardship and addressing community development efforts and projects around Northwest Wilmington and along the North Market Street and Concord Avenue corridors.
The interesting thing is how it got started, how you began, because that kind of shaped your mission today.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's really interesting because a lot of people haven't heard of Jefferson Street Center, or you'll also hear me call it JSC. It rolls off the tongue a little easier. Its inception was actually in 1987 as Jefferson Street Child Care Center. And it was a nonprofit child care center that served Northwest Wilmington. And it lasted for several decades until the economic recession in 2008. And ended up closing its doors in 2010. And so, you know, all nonprofits, they have a board of directors, and the board decided to keep the nonprofit status active, and they kept meeting and they worked to really respond to what they felt were the needs of the community, because a lot of them are members and were members of the community. So they transitioned into becoming what's called a Delaware readiness team. And it was a group of community, you know, organizers and leaders who came together to support students and their families in the local school system. And just from that process, just from hearing, you know, from these parents and from the kids, they realized that much more work needed and should be done in the area in conjunction with the community members. And so what happened was in 2016, this group of directors of the board, they applied to become what's called a blueprint community. And the blueprint communities are facilitated by University of Delaware. They're funded by the FHL Bank of Pittsburgh. And it's a process where a group of individuals, so it was some folks from the board, and then it was additional folks who worked in all different sectors in the community. So bankers, teachers, you know, Christiana care workers, all kinds of representatives. And so they train the University of Delaware to work and collect information from the community members themselves on what they felt like their assets, their biggest challenges are, you know, what projects did they want to work on and how soon, how to prioritize those. So from, and this lasted a year. So from this process,
they produced what's called the Washington Heights Blueprint Community Revitalization Plan.
And from that plan, that has fed our goals today. So a lot of this revitalization plan, it has a lot of very valuable data that gives insight into what individuals from all different demographics, you know, in the Northwest Wilmington community. So we're talking about Brandywine Village neighborhood, which borders North Market Street, talking about Baynard Village, which is in between Washington and Baynard Boulevard, the Triangle neighborhood, which is between Baynard and Broom Street, and then filtering out a little bit more around those arteries. And so this plan has fed into our focus on social justice efforts, which I know is a big term right now, but thinking about equitable access to resources and how underserved and disinvested communities can, you know, really utilize the networks and the resources in the city and how we can help connect them to those resources. So there's a lot going on, and it's really, really exciting because in this current phase, we are small and we are new in this way. So I was brought on last April, April 2021. And so I am the first staff person to stay on as executive director. And we're slowly growing. We just got our first AmeriCorps members. And so we're just really branching out and building up and moving onward and upward. So
having come from a background of childcare, you obviously were seeing what was affecting the family most. Did the plan reveal anything that you weren't expecting about this neighborhood? What resources it did have and what it's most lacking?
Yeah, so I did not have the pleasure of being a part of that process directly, but based on the plan that came out of this project, this year-long project, a lot of the focus from the neighborhood really channeled into addressing public safety and crime issues, supporting continuing education. And that also includes, you know, the gaps that happen over summer, the opportunity gaps, looking at how we can support youth opportunities. So what we could do to provide programming, whether it's after school or again, like throughout the summer, focusing on cleanliness, which was a really interesting one. Maybe that was a little surprising, depending on where you are in the service area. Housing and rentals, that was another big one. So what is the accessibility for renters, you know, the renter to homeowning pipeline? How can people access safe rentals and also, you know, be able to advocate if they need to address issues with their landlords, things like that. And also just the housing stock in general. And lastly, family and household relations. So, you know, how can we help support just really bridging the community and connecting people, you know, which over COVID that became a hot issue, and it continues to be so. And it was prevalent last year. We were the community partner for an event called Open Streets. And it's an event that happens throughout Wilmington. Last year was the first year that it happened. And the movement, the initiative that happens for Open Streets, essentially there's a group of community partners that is run by Urban Bike Project and Westside Grows. And they have been going to different neighborhoods in Wilmington and closing down larger streets so that businesses, neighbors, residents, they can all come out and really, you know, experience what it would be like to have a pedestrian and bicycle friendly street, kind of reimagining what it would be like if cars weren't going, you know, all the time. And so we were lucky enough to be able to be a community partner for the Open Streets last year in October. And then actually, we will again be the community partner for the last Open Streets of the season on Banner Boulevard. But just to touch on the relation and the shared neighborhood building, having this event last October where we closed down 0.7 miles of Banner Boulevard, which is a big artery. It's a 4-lane road that a lot of traffic comes in and out of the city. And people came out, and it was the most successful event in my eyes because people were just so excited to come together and meet their neighbors. And, you know, folks had moved there over COVID and they had not met people. And it was like their first time sort of coming out and really being able to engage with their community and meet face to face. So that was just one example of one of the things that we're really trying to cultivate and to do is work directly with the communities, but also helping to be a connector between the communities. And so, you know, bigger numbers, you know, provide stronger impacts and longer lasting change.
Did these communities lack a central voice? Did they lack captains who had been championing the neighborhood? When you say that they were thrilled to meet each other and that they were moving during COVID or relocating, is this a community of a lot of new residents, or do you have those pockets where they've been there since grandma and grandpa bought the house decades ago?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I don't, to answer your first question, I don't ever think that communities, you know, lack a captain. I think there are different kinds of captains, you know, and it's really I see our role, Jefferson Street Center's role, as working with the captains at, who, you know, who are all different types of leaders, and seeing how we can best support them to build their own networks, identify their resources and resourcefulness, and really cultivate that so that they can be the change that they want to see in their own community.
Is this an area where people are establishing themselves for a first time, or is this one of the old neighborhoods where you've had families in there for generations? Is the housing stock new and old when you talk about rental issues too?
So it is definitely a mixed bag. So I've had a lot of amazing conversations since I've been in this role with folks who have been in the neighborhood, who've lived in the neighborhood, who've raised families, who have been there for, you know, 40, 50 years and are incredibly invested. And I've also met new folks. I have, there was an amazing woman who just moved to Banner Village, which used to be called Washington Heights. And she moved, you know, late in the pandemic, and she's now on our board. And she is incredibly invested as somebody who didn't grow up in Delaware. And so I think there are all of these great intersections of people, you know, that we are really trying to, again, like facilitate the connections, you know, between, and just sort of provide that space that people can come together and talk about, you know, what do we want to do? How do we do it? And what do we need to get there? And so it's really just been an incredible process. And I think also with the mixed bag of folks who have lived there a long time and, you know, new residents and families who've moved there over the last few years, it's a really incredible exchange to witness between the two of them also, because there are amazing like perspectives that are being brought, like fresh perspectives from other communities. And also there's this historical, you know, knowledge of Wilmington that folks who've lived there for a long time can bring to the conversation and give, you know, a deeper sort of look into the landscape of like how Wilmington has been operating from their, you know, from their perspective for a long time. So it's an incredibly rich conversation. And it makes me just so excited to think about the future of our work and what we can do, not to come in and to change the neighborhoods, but to come in and to say, like, we are here to support, and what can we do to support you?
You alluded to the future, and you've got a brand new building. So one, you have to talk a little bit about the space itself, and what do you see it doing?
So what is really exciting, actually, I love historic buildings, and my house is actually, it was built in 1928. And so I was really thrilled coming into this role because the relationship between Jefferson Street Center and Hanover Presbyterian Church, which is located on 18th and Baynard, has been a long lasting one. And, you know, since the child care center has been housed in there up until where we are now. And so what is really cool is the fact that this building, which, you know, has many inferences, but this church has been around for a very, very long time, including the congregation. And so, you know, we just had the grand opening event for the community hub. And I do have to say, it's rather exciting. And it's also like not a new thing. We just wanted to really showcase what we have to offer the community. Hanover has been deeply committed over for as long as the folks who are members there tell me, you know, for many years, to social justice efforts, community efforts, housing, community programs, you know, providing free space. And so really what Jefferson Street Center on this project is focusing on doing is working with Hanover to utilize their building, right? Building that trust, doing it you know, in a very respectful and collaborative way to, first of all, respect their space and let them know that, like, you know, me coming in and us coming in and opening things up and creating policies and procedures, right, around opening up spaces in the hub will not displace them or, you know, what the intentional and the original purpose of the building has been. So we're working to preserve that. So that's first and foremost. And so after that, it's really focusing on how can we utilize the amenities in this building to open it up to folks outside of the congregation. And so when I say amenities, we're talking about, we have a basketball gym. We have a kitchen that has been updated and is now graded commercial. We have a few beautiful rooms and spaces that can be utilized for different purposes. One is a bigger social hall. Another one is the size of a classroom. And so, you know, and then we also have a stage. So there's a lot going on in this building. And what we've really been sort of dreaming about over the last year and a half since I've come on, and even before that, you know, with the board of directors, is how can we upgrade the space? How can we make it more responsive to the needs of COVID that really haven't left? You know, when we think about like all of the in-person meetings that used to happen before COVID that now are hybrid or now happening over Zoom, and how do we accommodate for that kind of, you know, technological need moving forward? So really trying to look at this space and this beautiful building in different types of ways and responding to the needs of the community with that. So a lot of what we're doing right now with, you know, as a nonprofit, we rely heavily on donations and grant funding and support from the government as well. And so a lot of what our focus has been on is how can we, what projects are we looking to fund to upgrade the space? So over 2020, over the pandemic, before I came on, the board of directors raised a lot of money, almost like $600,000, to upgrade different parts of the basketball gym. So we put new padding in, new sprinkler systems in, replaced the old 50s metal basketball backboards with, you know, new ones that are glass, or the plexiglass, I mean, and upgraded the kitchen, and we have a food pantry in the building. So upgraded all these spaces, you know, utilize that opportunity of quiet time in a sense. And so really upgraded that space. So a lot of our focus now is how can we continue to upgrade and renovate.
I'm being reminded of the old commercial for, I think it was Memorex. We don't make the music, we make the music sound better. Are you a facilitator then? You know, not necessarily your own programming, but becoming the space to welcome the innovators and the neighborhood leaders in to create this programming for the communities.
Yes, exactly. You nailed it. And so the term that I have been using is, you know, an incubator hub. So really providing the amenities, providing the space, and opening it up for folks who just need a physical space and possibly connections to resources, right, to build their own capacity. So this past spring, we carried out a pilot program for about 6 months. And we had, I think it was a 7 or 8 community partners who came in, used the space, and we tried different methods of how to organize, how to schedule. You know, there's a lot that goes into housing, and you know, it's also an older building, and so just really making sure it's secure, making sure people feel safe. And so we gained a lot of information and a lot of knowledge from that process. We also had a lot of great support from our collaborative funders at Healthy Communities Delaware, and they provided us access to a consultant who worked with us in creating a survey. And so the survey was, I thought it was incredibly successful. We surveyed over 100 folks who were either participants in the programs that happen at the building, who were program managers or program partners, who are building staff, who are volunteers, because there are a lot of volunteers that come in and out. And the point of the survey was truly to find out, what do you think is great? What do you think needs to be worked on? What do you think is missing? And what ideas do you have for connecting us to individuals or for programs that you would like to see here? And so, you know, Laura, you really nailed it on the head, because we are a facilitator, we are a connector, we are not building up to necessarily deliver direct service programs. But again, we're looking to provide this incubator innovation space and utilize a building that is already, you know, embedded in the community and has a ton of like amazing things to offer. I'm so excited talking about it.
Well,
if so many opportunities.
Well, if somebody else would like to get excited, the place to go for more information is jeffersonstreetcenter.org. Follow them on Facebook, where they are JSC in Wilmdee. I love how that rhymes. It just rolls off the tongue, the alliteration in that. So you alluded to your partnership with Open Streets. Are there other partnerships that you've already established or their charter members when you opened up the facility?
We have several partnerships that have just been growing since our inception, or since this phase of the organization. So one program that we've been working with closely is The Stand. And so The Stand is, on one hand, it's a food truck, and it's an amazing food truck. It's started by this woman, Antoinette Watson. She has an amazing story, and she grew up, you know, in Wilmington and saw her grandmother, who lived in the neighborhood and had a water ice stand. And so she saw everybody in the neighborhood, all the kids would always go to her grandmother and kind of hang out in a sort of like a safe space for them. And so she was inspired by that. And as a previous social worker, she really wanted to start something where she could directly support youth in the community. So she started this food truck, and then she also started a workforce development program, which is just amazing. And so she ran her first cohort this past spring out of Jefferson Street Center. So we were both running our pilots together at the same time, which is so great. And so she had classroom time with her cohort, and they're all teenagers, I think between 14 and 18, maybe 17. And so they had classroom time for about 6 weeks or so. And then they took that classroom time and where they focused on how to work with customers, how to build a resume, how to, you know, engage in retail, and went out and worked the food truck out in real life. And so what's really cool is through this partnership and through both of us growing at the same time, we're actively working together to figure out, okay, so like, you know, Antoinette, what do you need for The Stand? How can JSC support you? What are the next steps for you to build the capacity of your program? And so that is what we're looking to do with our partners. And so for the next cohort, which is looking to start later in October, we're working to connect that program with follow-up job placements. So once the youth is done working the food truck, where can they go after that to get more experience? So that's just one example of a community partner. We've been working with Bright Spot Farms, and they have been through a grant-funded program, they've been providing us with produce for, it's been for, I think, 16 weeks. And the produce goes directly to our food pantry. And so it's dispersed out to food pantry participants and customers every week. And so that has been an incredible, you know, benefit to partnering, because our customers, the participants, get, you know, locally grown produce from Bright Spot, which is also a youth workforce development program. So it's just, you know, the ecosystem of support has just been amazing. We've also been working with Public Allies and provided them space. Public Allies is an AmeriCorps program, and so they've come and utilized our hub over the pilot. We've worked with Urban Bike Project. I mean, Literacy Delaware, it's been a lot, and it's been really, really exciting. And so even after the grand opening event that just happened on September 24th, one of the purposes of that was to, again, showcase the space, which I have to say, I was so thankful that people came inside on such a beautiful day. It was really hard because we had this beautiful block party, and then we're like, everybody come inside and look at the space, even though it was gorgeous out. But the big point of it was to showcase the space so that, you know, programs, nonprofits, organizations, microbusinesses can come and see what we have to offer. And we've had a lot of inquiries from that event to partner with us and to come and utilize it. So yeah, good things are happening.
It sounds like you're not just an incubator, but a dating service, because if you can combine that food truck with an organization that provides the next step in employment, mm-hmm. and there goes one of your blueprint checkpoints right away, youth development and opportunities. It's what a great, great idea.
It is a great idea. And I, you know, it's been just really exciting to grow these ideas and really just connect with people, you know, and to find out what are other folks doing, what are other folks interested in, and how can we make that happen? So it's definitely not, it's a team effort. It's not just me. That is for sure. There are a lot of people that put so much work into this.
I've heard of entrepreneurial hubs and incubator spaces for startup businesses, et cetera. It's one for nonprofits and social justice. Is that sort of a new idea, or are you a trailblazer?
You know, I don't think it's a new idea. I think it is just now, more in recent years, been coming to Wilmington. I don't know if you've heard of the Wilmington Kitchen Collective out of Grace Church, but they are a great example of, you know, sort of reframing space and partnering to grow. So I believe it's the Riverfront nonprofit. They have been working with, and Grace Church, they have been working with Wilmington Alliance. And it's taken them many years, you know, of just working together, figuring out how to reframe a space. So they have this huge kitchen downstairs in the church, and Grace Church is in West Center City. And they have worked so long and raised so much money to renovate this kitchen space and to get it up to, you know, health inspection standards. And so they just had their grand opening last spring. And really what they're doing is they're an incubator space with their kitchen. So they're opening it up. They have opened it up to a cohort of small businesses who need legally, you know, they need that space it's called a commissary, in order to make and prepare their goods to then sell it out in the community. And so that was just, and I've met with them. I've met with Chelsea Spires, and I've met with folks at Wilmington Alliance, and they do such great work over there. And I think it's really inspirational to see how we can continue to reframe and think about space in Wilmington, especially with, you know, just the amount of faith-based buildings in the city, because there are a lot, and there are a lot embedded in communities. And I think one of the biggest real like draws to what we're doing at Hanover is when you look at the map, there is no community hub within a mile of any direction of where we are. And so, you know, as somebody who lives in the city, you know, walking farther than a mile, it feels like a long time. And so even though in actuality, it's maybe like 20, 25 minutes, but that's a lot. And that's especially a lot if you are a kid, or if you're a parent with kids and you are trying to get, you know, those children from your place to, you know, a spot that is enriching, or, you know, providing programming or something like that. And maybe you don't have a car, or maybe you're taking the bus, or you're bike riding. So I think that's one of the really cool things about, again, just like talking with individuals who have all of these amazing ideas, and really finding the intersectionality between how space has been used, what we've been doing in the past, and how can we think about the future moving forward. And I think that's something that has come out of COVID that has really, it's provided a bit of hope, I think, for a lot of people.
And you have room to grow. What's the future then?
So we're really excited because, you know, now that this project of the community hub has really started to take off, we received support over the last couple of months that's going to be able to feed into how we're going to branch out into the community. So we're looking to start partnering with other nonprofits and organizations to provide small business support. How can we address any of the needs and growth along the North Market Street corridor, residents and entrepreneurs along Concord Avenue. And we're also really excited to work with the community on, you know, engagement, events, beautification projects, what issues need to be addressed, what do people want to do, what do people want to see outside of the hub, outside of the building, that really, you know, provides more vital neighborhood experience and living.
We are out of time. Parting words.
I'm so thrilled to have come on your show, and I am really excited for next time when I get to talk about more updates and all of the new projects that we're doing. We have a lot of renovations and a lot of exciting things happening over the next year or so. And please come and check out our website, check out our Facebook page. We are actively creating new ways of connecting with the community. So please feel free to reach out to me.
And that is Amanda August, Executive Director of Jefferson Street Center. Find out more information, jeffersonstreetcenter.org. On Facebook, they are JSC in WilmDE. JSC in WilmDE. Amanda, thanks for being on today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're always welcome back with a progress report. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.